Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Thanks for joining us at 6. We appreciate your time. I'm Julian Grace. Well, let's take a live look at the radar. Some rain is moving in tonight, but mostly quiet in our area for now. Come tomorrow, though, things get more active. Let's look at this. All of this orange here represents a level 3 chance of severe weather. Let's bring in meteorologist Anthony Baglione to talk all about it. He's joining us in the WRAL Severe Weather Center now. And Anthony, when can we expect to see storms?
Julian, we're seeing a few right now on radar, as you mentioned, mainly west of our viewing area, but that's kind of the coverage. We just saw a severe thunderstorm warning drop off right there. It was warned on this little batch. We have one up to the north, but at this point in our viewing area, relatively quiet. We could see a few light showers later on this evening. Let's take a zoomed in view right around Siler City, heading toward Pittsburgh, heading toward Sanford as well, and you head back toward Robbins. That's kind of where we're seeing the rainfall. So this is all moving to the east, and I do anticipate some of us to see a few light showers this evening. Our severe potential tonight remains relatively low. We're not expecting any big time storms for us over the next couple of hours. Tomorrow is really what I want to talk about here. We start off the day quiet, going through the early afternoon, still relatively quiet, but we get to about, let's say, 5 to 6 o'clock in the afternoon and evening. It may start to get a little bit more active as we're expecting a line to come through. Even by 9 o'clock, that continues to push off to the south and east. So that's going to be the time frame, let's say 5 to about 9 p.m. tomorrow night. We did see an upgrade here from the Storm Prediction Center, at least an enhanced risk, or that level 3 out of 5 from the Storm Prediction Center. They've kind of pushed that a little bit further here to include all of the triangle, and then that line is expected to weaken here as it gets closer to the coast. The other big story for us tomorrow, Julian, nearly all of our viewing area here under a heat advisory, feels like values up to about 109. Very busy for us tomorrow. We're going to talk about all of this in detail here the next time we meet in a few minutes.
Yeah, you got it right. It will be a very busy Monday. All right, thank you, Anthony. We are tracking some breaking news at this hour. The Northern Wake Fire Department has searchers on Falls Lake right now after a report of a missing person. We told you there were 2 boats in the water with 6 personnel earlier. The Wake Forest Fire Department is also responding with a boat. We'll provide updates as we get more information. Water rescue teams also responded to 2 other incidents on Falls Lake just this afternoon. First, a group of 3 other people with injuries had to be taken to the hospital, but we don't know how they were hurt. Then some people in a boat had to be rescued after they became stuck on a sandbar. No one was hurt. We're also working to learn more about the incident on Jordan Lake. We have a news crew on the way. We're keeping tabs on this right here. Hundreds of these anti-Semitic flyers showed up in a handful of Raleigh North neighborhoods earlier overnight. One of them was in Northridge, a neighborhood with a notable Jewish population. WRAL's Carly Haynes joins us live from that area now. And Carly, Raleigh police are now looking into all of this.
Yeah, Julian, we're near Tam Park Road in Northridge right now, and different versions of anti-Semitic flyers in plastic bags, just like this one, were dropped right here and around at least 5 different neighborhoods this morning. Now, we spoke to neighbors here, and they told us they live near a synagogue, though the flyers weren't necessarily targeted towards Jewish families. Every house got them. Some people took it upon themselves to go and remove flyers from their neighborhood. They said they collected dozens of them. And you may remember almost exactly 1 year ago, flyers were distributed on this very same road. Both those and the ones found this year linked to a website to an organization that's currently being tracked as a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Group. Now, in the next half hour, we're going to be speaking to a local rabbi about his reaction and also share the latest data about hate crimes in North Carolina. That's going to be tonight at 10 and 11. Julian.
Very disturbing. Carly Jackson reporting live for us in Raleigh. Thank you. We're breaking news. Raleigh police say a person is in custody accused of assaulting a man and a woman, seriously injuring them. This happened around 3 p.m. on Ingate Way in Northwest Raleigh. Both victims are in the hospital this evening. Detectives have been on the scene collecting evidence and trying to determine what led up to the assault. Police do tell us there is no threat to the community. A part of Bragg Boulevard in Fayetteville is shut down while police investigate a situation at a gas station. This is video from the WRAL breaking news tracker around 2 this afternoon. Officers responded to the Valero gas station there. They say nothing violent happened and they were investigating a vehicle in the area. WRAL is working to get more details about why. An 8-year-old Goldsboro boy is recovering after being shot in the leg this morning. Police responded to a home on Astor Court in reference to a reported shooting shortly before 6:30 in the morning. Once on the scene, they discovered a boy with a gunshot wound to the left lower leg. Responders took him to UNC Health Wayne and then transferred him to ECU Health Medical Center in Greenville for further treatment. Police tell us it appears the shooting was accidental and or negligent. We don't know who is responsible for the shooting. Cumberland County detectives are investigating a shooting that killed two people. The sheriff's office responded to a call of an overdose near Sambo Jackson Road in the town of Wade shortly after 9 o'clock last night. At the home, deputies found two adults with gunshot wounds. Both of them died at the scene. Their names have not been released. It's unclear what led up to the shooting. We're still working to learn more from investigators about any suspects or arrests. Deputies in Halifax County have yet to find a murder suspect who has been on the run since late Friday night. Investigators are looking for 27-year-old Shelby Edwards. He was released from jail with an electronic monitoring device, which he removed before taking off. Deputies spent all of yesterday searching for him. He was last seen in downtown Roanoke Rapids. Edwards is wanted for charges including murder, felony conspiracy, robbery with dangerous weapons, and assault. A man is seriously injured after a shooting in Raleigh. Officers responded to Peyton Street shortly after 4 in the morning. Once there, they found a man with multiple gunshot wounds. Detectives say the shooting appears to be an isolated incident. We're still asking for more information in the ongoing investigation. The first anniversary of President Biden signing the PAC Act is coming up this Thursday. The act was signed for veterans to receive additional coverage and benefits if they worked with burn pits on active duty. These burn pits were used as storage for toxic materials and trash. Veteran Affairs say veterans should sign up for the benefits by this Wednesday.
The president has been very clear to us that this new law can be the largest expansion of VA benefits and care in the history of the VA.
That act expanded eligibility for more than 20 presumptive conditions, meaning it is automatically assumed that certain kinds of cancers and breathing issues were caused by serving in the military. President Biden will mark the occasion at the Veteran Affairs Hospital in Salt Lake City this week. Retired General James Lindsay, the former commander of U.S. Special Operations Command 18th Airborne Corps and the 82nd Airborne Division, has died. He was 90. The military says his death yesterday was from natural causes. General Lindsay served with the U.S. Army for 38 years. There will be a celebration of life to honor his extensive military service at the Airborne and Special Operations Museum. The date for that has not yet been set. A major response from Durham Fire helped save a church from total devastation. We first reported this as breaking news last night at 11. Take a look at this video from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. This is the Greater Walton United Holy Church on Belvin Avenue. 52 firefighters responded to the call and began battling the fire shortly before 9 p.m. The church was unoccupied at the time of the fire. Today marks 58 years since Congress passed the Voting Rights Act. Just ahead, WRAL's Laura Levine explains how the law and the landscape around it have changed in the years since. And ahead in sports, how the U.S. women's national team is responding after a heartbreaking knockout in the World Cup. Following some breaking news, the Chatham County Sheriff's Office has confirmed they recovered the body of a drowning victim who was boating and swimming at Jordan Lake. The man, whose name is not being released at this time, was swimming in the lake near his boat off the area of Poles Ridge Boat Ramp this afternoon when others in his party simply lost sight of him. We will continue to follow up with that breaking news story. Today marks 58 years since the passage of the Voting Rights Act. It outlawed the discriminatory voting practices adopted in many southern states after the Civil War. WRAL's Laura Levine explains how it has transformed through the years.
On the
this day 58 years ago, voting became possible for everyone. The voting rights of 1965 really reshaped history, but a lot has changed since then. Rollbacks such as requiring proof of ID at the polls is just one example of many barriers still being presented today.
The landmark 1965 law is one of the most successful civil rights measures in history. After decades of activism, those who were insisting on their right to participate on equal terms in their democracy won.
As soon as it went into place, it was immediately contested. And it has been contested since.
I spoke with Chris Shenton, a voting rights lawyer at Southern Coalition for Social Justice, about the ongoing challenges.
When you look at the laws in place that are supposed to protect voters, how have they changed?
They've changed dramatically in the last few years. Another decision of the United States Supreme Court from 10 years ago, Shelby County, struck down the core provision of the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And the aftermath of that decision is still being felt today in a very profound way. Like here in North Carolina, the day that that decision was announced, the legislature here passed what they called the full bill. So they rolled out a bunch of provisions that they had up to that point thought they could not pass legally, and which had a devastating impact on all voters, but particularly voters of color here in North Carolina.
He says from there, they targeted early voting and voter ID laws to list a few.
There is still a lot left to do. And here in North Carolina in particular, we see threats, even right now as we are speaking over on Jones Street at the legislature, to our right to vote, and certainly that's a concern for us.
Bob Phillips is the executive director of Common Cause NC, a nonpartisan grassroots organization dedicated to upholding the core values of democracy.
We're engaging in a what we call a Unite NC tour all across the state, trying to make sure everybody understands what indeed is happening in Raleigh and make sure their voices are heard. We always say that the most powerful voice in the hallways of the legislature is actually the people. Their voice really does matter, but the lawmakers representing them have to hear their voices.
When a state Supreme Court ruling approved a photo ID law for this year's election, advocates say it will have a drastic impact on those who may not have a DMV in their county, the elderly and underrepresented communities.
It seems that some of the lawmakers are pushing harmful legislation because they have bought in to this election denier narrative. And we've got to all push back and fight and make sure that, again, voting continues to be easy and accessible for all.
Where do you see the future of the Voting Rights Act?
I think it will continue to be driven ultimately by the people who insisted, the same kinds of people who won the protections of the Voting Rights Act to begin with.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
North Carolina lawmakers had hoped to wrap up business last month, but they still face a long list of priorities in the coming weeks. The biggest priority, finalizing a new state budget. But other major issues remain, including whether the General Assembly will authorize four new casinos around the state, including one in Nash County. Lawmakers also have to finalize raises for state employees and teachers, approve tax rates, and settle a raft of other issues, including significant election reforms and bills dealing with the LGBTQ rights. Our NC Capitol team has a detailed breakdown online of the issues outstanding. Find it at WREL.com. We are just 2 days away from the drawing for the biggest jackpot in Mega Millions history. The top prize has surged to $1.55 billion. This makes the largest jackpot in Mega Millions history. A lump sum payment would be an estimated $757 million. Now, you can watch the big drawing Tuesday night live on WREL right before our 11 o'clock news. Anthony, tomorrow will be pretty busy, and it looks like we're already getting an early start.
Yeah, thankfully tonight, though, Julie, most of these are going to remain below severe criteria, but could get a little bit more active as we head into tomorrow. We'll talk about that here in just a second, but let's get us over to radar, because I know a lot of people are hoping for at least some rain to kind of help out the gardens, the grass, things like that are getting just a little bit dry. This line in and of itself has actually held together a little bit here, and we did see a couple severe thunderstorm warnings with it earlier. We're not expecting severe weather tonight, but I think it could be just a good batch here in some spots of some rainfall, and especially here as we zoom in, kind of show you exactly what's going on around Siler City back toward Robbins. This is all pushing off to the east, but definitely some pretty moderate rainfall there. We don't see any lightning showing up, but it's going to be a welcome sight here as far as the rainfall coming down. There is a severe thunderstorm warning just west of Roxborough for this system. If it holds together here, it'll probably be in your direction, let's say in a half an hour to about an hour or so. And that, again, line is going to continue to push off to the east. So let's talk about that here on Futurecast, and then we'll get into our severe risk for tomorrow. The line itself continues here as we go forward in time on Futurecast. Takes a little bit of time to get through most of our viewing area. There's 10, 11 o'clock or so, and it's still kind of slowly creeping on through. So let's just call it scattered showers possible here as we head later on this evening. And then after midnight, we should be nice and quiet. Tomorrow, we will start off, again, quiet. No issues out the door for your Monday morning. But we've seen the Storm Prediction Center here kind of shift this level 3 risk across more of our viewing area. This was further back to the west, and now we're seeing a lot more of our viewing area, including all of the Triangle. And then it drops down to a level 2 out of 5 near Goldsboro, Fayetteville, and then heading back toward, let's say, New Bern. It drops off to a level 1. I want to walk through Futurecast specifically here because there's a lot of variables going on with this forecast. In the morning itself, no rainfall expected. Maybe a stray shower there from Mecklenburg County by about lunchtime tomorrow. A lot of us are going to see tons of dry time. It will be very hot, very humid. That could add some fuel for these storms. But you notice they're still at 5 o'clock in the evening, relatively quiet on this specific model. I think as we head later on, 6, 7, 8 o'clock or so, that's when we may see what's left of a line kind of pushing through the state of North Carolina. 9 o'clock in the evening, a lot of this has worked through the Triangle and then off to the coast by about 11 o'clock or so. The main concern with that one would be some gusty winds, some maybe damaging straight line wind gusts, so we'll have to watch that closely. A very limited tornado threat back to our northwestern counties, even up toward Roxborough, west of the Triangle. Can't rule it out completely, but this really looks like a wind event for us tomorrow. The other thing we are watching that we saw come out this afternoon, we have this heat advisory in place. Feels like values 100 to about 107 tomorrow afternoon. We see a little bit of relief there into Tuesday behind a cold front back to 94. And then you see Thursday up to 101 yet again. So tomorrow's going to be kind of a busy day, and just make sure to stay weather aware here. I think especially the hydration and then later on in the day that storm risk or so. That's why, though, it is a weather alert day for us. 97 degrees, the actual air temperature tomorrow. Once we get beyond that, Julian, look a lot better here. Temperatures right about where we should be, and just a stray storm there into Thursday.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Casey, fans are excited and waiting to see Bryce Young in action.
They're not going to have to wait long as the Panthers get their preseason games underway this week. And, well, they just might see Bryce Young in action. Plus.
Yeah, just devastated. Feels like a bad dream.
The U.S. Women's National Team bounced from the World Cup. We'll get highlights and reaction next. The last time Megan Rapinoe missed a penalty for a club or country was 2018. This one to help the U.S. move on, and it gets sent out of the stadium. How about Sophia Smith? A chance to win it. That's high. Kelly O'Hara hits the post, leaving the door wide open for Sweden. And Sweden's Lena Hurtig for the win. It appears to be saved by Nahir, not once but twice, but it crosses the line in the slimmest of margins, sending the U.S. women home. Well, disappointment is an unfamiliar emotion for the U.S. when it comes to women's soccer. This is a team that had not lost a Women's World Cup match for 12 years, but after the way they came out of that group stage play, I don't know. I think we might have seen this one coming. But there was no goals in the first 120 minutes of play. Big reason was the goalkeepers. Ninth minute, Sweden with the corner kick. Alyssa Nahir comes out with the net with a massive deflection in traffic. But anything you can do? Zachira Mosovic says, I can do better. Absolute robs Lindsey Horan in the 53rd minute to keep the game scoreless. Then in the 96th minute, Alex Morgan charging, gets a pair of defenders to get the shot off, but another massive save for Sweden. The U.S. managed just 4 goals in 4 games. Plenty of finger pointing later, but it's all emotions right now.
Just devastated. Feels like a bad dream. And I don't know, the team put everything out there tonight. I feel like we dominated, but it doesn't matter. Then the day we're going home.
I think for me it's just emotional because it's probably my last game ever being able to have the honor to wear this crest. So I think it's just, you know, It's just tough. It's just tough. Like, I feel like it's just an emotional time.
The North Carolina Courage just couldn't find its rhythm last night as Gotham FC shut out the ladies 2-0, now leaving a trip to the Challenge Cup semifinals in the hands of Gotham, who still have one more game to play in group stage. Head coach Sean Nahas called it a learning experience, but it's one they shouldn't hang their heads about.
They have to look back at the positives that we've had all year, especially the last couple of weeks, and realize that there's much more positive than negative this season. From where people predicted us to be to where we are now, I mean, there's nothing to be upset about. You know, we lost a game. What are you going to do? We pick our heads up and we get back.
Well, fans won't have to wait long to see rookie QB Bryce Young in game action. Head coach Frank Reich said today he will play in Saturday's first preseason game versus the Jets. How many snaps? Well, he didn't want to commit to that, but says there's a plan. And get this, there's also a plan to reduce fighting in this week's joint practices with the Jets. Reich saying that he can't stand it. So you know what? They're going to switch up the contact days just a little bit here to promote non-fighting.
The good thing is with the Jets, you know, we're going to work real hard the first day, and the second day is going to be much lighter. So a lot of times the fighting comes the second day. So that's been my experience anyway. So hopefully our guys, both teams will be pros, and let's just get the good work that we need.
And we'll have plenty more from the Panthers training camp, plus a recap of Fan Fest coming up on Sports Extra on Fox 50 after the 10 p.m. news. Julian.
All right, Casey. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. NBC Nightly News is next. We'll see you a little bit later. Have a great evening.